Welcome to the Watchman Radio Hour, coming to you from Portland, Oregon, here in the beautiful Northwest. This is David Schulte, your announcer. The Watchman Radio Hour is a production of Watchman Radio Ministries International, an evangelistic ministry reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now here's our speaker, Alex Dotson, to bring you this week's message from God's Word.
For our scripture reading today, let us turn to Psalm 22, and we'll read verses 30 and 31. Let us hear the word of God. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Bible that you have given to us. We thank you that it's your infallible word and that we can put our full confidence in everything that it says. And now, O Father, as we come to study your word, we pray that you will send forth your Holy Spirit in great convicting power. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Several years ago, a well-known Christian author wrote a book entitled The Terminal Generation. His view was that the generation of Christians now living would be the final generation. The church would end with them. Many years have passed since that book was written. The end has not yet come. The church is still here. It's foolish for us to believe that we are the terminal generation. The future of the church is glorious if we are to believe the Old Testament prophets. It will not end in failure as some teach today. We need to get our eyes off this generation and think of the generations yet to come. We need a multi-generational vision. And that was the vision of the psalmist. Again, our text is Psalm 22, verses 30 and 31, which says, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. We should have a vision for the gospel that includes future generations. Our vision is too short if we believe that we are the terminal generation. The psalmist looked ahead to a generation that would yet be born. He looked ahead to a church that would proclaim the gospel to future generations. Should we not do any less today? Jesus has promised that the gates of hell will not be able to stop the church. In Matthew 16:18, it says, And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we give up on the church today, we are denying our Lord's own words. Future generations are yet to come who will serve the Lord. We must believe that. Now let us see in the first place that we are not the terminal generation. Again, the text says, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. To a people yet unborn, a future generation. It's wrong to think that we are the terminal generation. To say that we are the terminal generation shows a great lack of faith and misunderstanding of our mission in this world as the church. The church, especially in this nation, is in a weakened condition spiritually. We may be rich in material goods, but we are weak in faith and vision. False prophets tell us the end is near, and that we are living in the terminal generation. But we need to question such statements. Our task in this world is not yet done. There are nations and peoples yet to be won to Christ. There are nations that need revival to bring them back to God. The church's glory has not yet come. better days lie ahead. We must believe that. We must not believe those who teach that the church will end in failure. The Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches the very opposite. We must get a more biblical vision of the church for the future. We should prepare for future generations yet to come. The Bible talks about a future glory for the church. In Isaiah 54, 1 through 3, it says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities." Here it's prophesied that whole nations will be one to the Lord in the future. Surely this has happened in the past and will happen in the future. We must not despair. In Isaiah 61 through 3 it says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Again, whole nations will come to the light of Zion. Her future will be bright and glorious. She does not end in failure, as some teach. Colin Dalich writes, "A seed, posterity shall serve him. It shall be told concerning the Lord to the generation to come." The substance of the gospel in its preparatory history and its fulfillment of the declaration concerning God, which passes from generation to generation, is this: that God has accomplished what he planned when he anointed the son of Jesse and the son of David as a mediator in his work of redemption, that he accomplished it by leading the former through affliction to the throne and making the cross to the latter a ladder leading up to heaven. Matthew Henry writes that the church of Christ, and with it the kingdom of God among men, should continue to the end through all the ages of time. Mankind is kept up in a succession of generations, so that there is always a generation passing away and a generation coming up. Now, as Christ shall have honor from that which is passing away and leaving the world, so he shall have honor from that which is rising up and setting out in the world. Observe first their application to Christ. A seed shall serve him, shall keep up the solemn worship of him, and profess and practice obedience to him as their master and Lord. Note, God will have a church in the world to the end of time, and in order to that there shall be a succession of professing Christians and gospel ministers from generation to generation. A seed shall serve him. There shall be a remnant more or less to whom shall pertain the service of God, and to whom God will give grace to serve him. Perhaps not the seed of the same persons, for grace does not run in a blood. He does not say their seed, but a seed, perhaps but few, yet enough to preserve the church. The psalmist looks ahead to future generations, to people who would yet be born, who would hear the gospel and come to Christ. Should we envision anything less today? We need to look to the future, to those generations yet to come who will know and serve Christ. We should see them with the eyes of faith. We should envision a church that will go forward into the future and expand and possess the nations. Secondly, the vision of Jesus for future generations. Again, verse 30 says, "Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it." There would be more sheep in the future. In John 10:16, Jesus said, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus was speaking to his Jewish disciples. They were the sheep that were then before him, but he looked ahead and saw another flock and more sheep who would come to him, and these sheep would be from all over the world, and they would come into the one flock made up of both Jews and Gentiles who would follow Jesus as their shepherd. Jesus had a vision for future generations when he made that statement to his disciples. He envisioned the sheep of the future who would come and follow him. Matthew Henry writes, Christ's acknowledgment of them, they shall be accounted to him for a generation. He will be the same to them that he was to those who went before them. His kindness to his friend shall not have died with them, but shall be drawn out to their heirs and successors, and instead of the fathers shall be the children, whom all shall acknowledge to be a seed that the Lord hath blessed. The generation of the righteous God will graciously own as his treasure his children. Jesus did not just envision his immediate disciples as the church, but he envisioned a much larger and widespread church that would come about in future generations. Jesus has a vision for nations that would yet believe in the future. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus envisioned a church that would encompass all nations and would last for generations right up to the very last day of the age. His commandment was to his disciples to carry the gospel to all nations and to continue to do this right up to the very last day. His vision and command was multi-generational. It would take generations to carry out. It was not just a command for one generation. It would be an age-long command that would continue right up to the very end of that age. Matthew Henry writes, They shall come, shall rise up in their day, not only to keep up the virtue of the generation that is past and to do the work of their generation, but to serve the honor of Christ and the welfare of souls in the generations to come. They shall transmit to them the gospel of Christ, that sacred deposit, pure and entire, even to a people that shall be born hereafter. To them that shall, they shall declare two things. First, that there is an everlasting righteousness which Jesus Christ has brought in. This righteousness of his, and not any of our own, they shall declare to be the foundation of all our hopes and the fountain of all our joys. Secondly, that the work of our redemption by Christ is the Lord's own doing, and no contrivance of ours. We must declare to our children that God has done this. It is his wisdom and a mystery. It is his own revealed. John Calvin writes, Their seed shall serve him, the more to exalt the greatness of the benefit. He declares that it will be of such a character that posterity will never forget it. And he shows how it will come to be perpetuated, namely, because the conversion of the world of which he has spoken will not be for a short time only, but will continue from age to age. Whence we again conclude that what is here celebrated is not such a manifestation of the glory of God to the Gentile nations as proceeds from a transitory and fading rumor, but such as will enlighten the world with its beams even to the end of time. Accordingly, the perpetuity of the church is here abundantly proved in very clear terms, not that it always flourishes or continues in the same uniform course through successive ages, but because God, unwilling that his name should be extinguished in the world, will always raise up some sincerely to devote themselves to his service. We ought to remember that this seed in which the service of God was to be preserved is the fruit of the incorruptible seed, for God begets and multiplies his church only by means of his word. Thirdly, Let us see the vision of the early church. Again, our text says, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. What was the Pentecost vision? We see it in Acts 2, 38 and 39. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter had a multi-generational vision when he addressed the crowd of Jews there at Pentecost. Not only was the promise for his immediate audience, but the promise was for their children and all who were far off. In other words, the promise included generations yet to be born and people all over the world who would in the future come to know Christ. Peter had envisioned the whole age. Charles Spurgeon writes, they shall come. Sovereign grace shall bring out from among men the blood-bought ones. Nothing shall thwart the divine purpose. The chosen shall come to life, to faith, to pardon, to heaven. In this the dying Savior finds a sacred satisfaction. Toiling servant of God, be glad at the thought that the eternal purpose of God shall suffer neither let nor hindrance, and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. None of the people who shall be brought to God by the irresistible attractions of the cross shall be dumb. They shall be able to tell forth the righteousness of the Lord, so that future generations shall know the truth. Fathers shall teach their sons, who shall hand it down to their children. The burden of the story always being that he had done this, or that it is finished. Salvation's glorious work is done. There is peace on earth and glory in the highest. It is finished. These were the expiring words of the Lord Jesus, as they are the last words of this psalm. May we, by living faith, be enabled to see our salvation finished by the death of Jesus. And John Calvin comments, they shall come and shall declare. The psalmist here confirms what I have previously stated, that since the fathers shall transmit the knowledge of this benefit to their children, as it were from hand to hand, the name of God will be always renowned. From this we may also deduce the additional truth that it is by the preaching of the grace of God alone that the church is kept from perishing. At the same time, let it be observed that care and diligence in propagating divine truth are here enjoined upon us, that it may continue after we are removed from this world. As the Holy Spirit prescribes, it is a duty incumbent on all the faithful to be diligent in instructing their children, that there may be always one generation after another to serve God. The early disciples did not think of themselves as the terminal generation, but rather looked forward to the generations of the future, receiving the gospel and coming to Christ. And then let us see a vision to carry the gospel forward to future generations. Peter could see children of these disciples coming to know Christ in the future. And not just their immediate children, but generations after them, even to those who were far off, both in distance and time. Matthew Henry writes, in singing this, we must triumph in the name of Christ as above every name. Must give him honor ourselves, rejoice in the honors others do bring, and in the assurance we have that there shall be a people praising him on earth when we are praising him in heaven. Spurgeon says, a seed shall serve him. Posterity shall perpetuate the worship of the Most High. The kingdom of truth on earth shall never fail. As one generation is called to its rest, another will rise up in its stead. We need have no fear for the true apostolic succession. That is safe enough. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. He will reckon the ages by the succession of the saints and set his accounts to the families of the faithful. Generations of sinners come not into the genealogy of the skies. God's family register is not for strangers, but for the children only. Our pilgrim forefathers had a multi-generational vision for a Christian nation. The pilgrims had undertaken their voyage to America for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. This was their wording put into the Mayflower Compact. They had a vision for America that it might become a Christian nation in the future, that future generations would come to the knowledge of the Christian faith, and that they might bring glory to God in this new land. This vision can be seen in the writings of the pilgrims, primarily in those of William Bradford, governor of Plymouth Plantation. Bradford wrote, "What then could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? Ought not the children of their fathers rightly to say, our fathers were Englishmen who came over the great ocean and were ready to perish in this wilderness, but they cried unto the Lord, and He heard their voice and looked on their adversity. Let them therefore praise the Lord, because He is good and His mercies endure forever." Bradford envisioned a nation of people who would praise the Lord in the future. He wrote, "But it seems that the Lord, who assigns to all men the bounds of their habitations, had appointed it for another use, and thus they found the Lord to be with them in all their ways, and to bless their outgoings and incomings, for which let His holy name have the praise forever to all posterity." Bradford saw this group of pilgrims as a planting of the Lord in a new nation, or a new land. He saw them as a small candle lighting a path ahead for the nation to follow. His vision was for future generations who would serve the Lord. He wrote, "Thus, out of small beginnings, greater things have grown by His hand, who made all things out of nothing, and gives being to all things that are, and as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light enkindled here is shown to many, yea, in a sense to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise." The pilgrims left Holland to begin their voyage on their knees, and they arrived on shore in America on their knees. They recognized the hand of God in what they were doing. They knew that they were coming to this new land to plant not just a small group of people, but to plant a nation that would honor and serve God. Today we've gone astray from that vision. No longer do we serve and acknowledge God as a nation. Yet it's not too late to regain that vision that the pilgrims had. It was a multi-generational vision. They cared not only for themselves, but for the future generations that would come after them. Today, let us recapture that pilgrim vision for a nation that would praise the Lord and serve Him. But what about you today? Have you given your life to Christ to know and serve Him? He's the Savior of the world, and He calls you to follow and serve Him. Jesus began His ministry by saying, "Repent and believe the gospel." And He calls on you today to do that very thing. Repent at once and believe the gospel message. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You have sent forth the gospel into the world. And we pray, O Lord, that that gospel will bear much fruit. We pray that it will bear fruit in all the nations of the world. And we pray that the glorious days of the church will soon come. And we thank You for the vision of the pilgrims who first came to this nation, to this land. And we pray, O Lord, that their vision will continue, in that they foresaw a posterity that would praise You. We pray, O Lord, for revival in America. We pray that You will send forth Your Holy Spirit in great convicting power all over this land. And we pray that multitudes would awaken out of their slumber, coming under great conviction of sin, And we pray that the nation as a whole will repent and turn back to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We hope this week's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If you have any questions about Mr. Dodson's message, please write us. You may email us at info@watchmanradio.org. Our mailing address is Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. That's Watchman Radio Ministries International, Post Office Box 13251, Portland, Oregon, 97213. You may listen to this broadcast at any time on the internet at www.oneplace.com. In the list of ministries, just select the Watchman Radio Hour. This week's program and previous programs are always available there for listening. Thanks for listening to the Watchman Radio Hour. We invite you to come again next week to hear another timely message from God's Word. We are Watchman Radio Ministries International, reaching out to the peoples of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ.